keeping it real. Real's how we keep it. Get ready for Eddie. Sit back and peep it.
We encourage people to come to us and ask.
Assalamu alaikum, guys.
Greetings
of peace. I'm here with John Smithers. Yeah. And it's been about a year. We had a nice panel discussion at UIC. We were a PhD candidate there.
Yes.
What was it about Islam? You know, for the people that didn't watch that panel discussion that we had with Professor Jeremiah, was it?
Yes.
Also, we also had another Filipino Muslim. And there was another Oriental, Chinese Muslim also there.
Yeah.
What was his name? Doesn't matter, yeah. But what was it with you? What was it that really interested you, had that affinity, that attraction that drew you into Islam and had you finally become a Muslim?
Okay, well, so to make a long story short, I was doing some research about Islam for a long time, and I had I actually had some Islamic calligraphy on my desktop.
I remember, yeah.
Yeah, and I had no idea what the calligraphy even meant. I just thought it looked cool. And so while I was in class one day, one of my students came up to me and he was going to ask me a question, but he looked at my desktop and he seen this calligraphy. He was like, "Whoa, are you a Muslim, bro?" And I was like, no, but I'm interested. And I said, "Why do you ask?" And he said, "Well, you have the Shahada on your screen. You know, the La ilaha illallah, Shahadu Muhammad Rasulullah." And I was like, I had no idea. And so at that moment, I almost felt like, you know, Allah was calling upon me to be a believer, because I put that there without even any knowledge of what that meant. Mm-hmm. And so after that, I was introduced to some few brothers in the MSA at UIC there. And after that was history. On October 6, 2012, I took my Shahada.
Yeah, for those that don't know, people visiting the Deen Show and you hear Shahada, you hear, you know, what really people get drawn to is the simplicity of Islam, the direct connection with the Creator. And when someone accepts Islam, they do something that's just really intrinsically built into them. It's just to testify that there's nothing, I'm not going to worship anything except the Creator. There's nothing worthy of worship except the one who created me. And the one who brought that message was Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, just like Jesus, Moses, Abraham. So that's that, peace be upon all of them. That's that same message, the continuation of that legacy of pure monotheism. Now it's Easter, right? I think today is
Good Friday.
Tell us, you know, for the Muslims out there, they really don't know much about it, and you know, also our Christian friends in humanity wanting to know we'll touch upon a little bit, you know, the from the Islamic perspective. But for a Christian, what was it? What did Easter signify to you? What was its significance?
Well, you know, so I was raised a Catholic, and so today, Good Friday, the rest of my family actually today is celebrating today as Good Friday. Today, they believe that Jesus, this was the day that Jesus, alayhi salam, died on the cross. And Easter, in 3 days from now, on Sunday, is considered the day that he resurrected from the dead. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, this was a day, and this weekend actually was a weekend that, you know, whenever I first became a Muslim, I was, you know, really, you know, concerned about, you know, how am I going to celebrate with my family? Am I going to celebrate with my family? You know, what am I going to do? And so for the first couple of years, actually, I kind of stayed away. I didn't really do much, but I got to thinking, just like I told you earlier, I was, you know, I didn't become a Muslim so I could estrange myself from my family. I mean, you know, if anything, this is a time to engage with them and a time to, you know, share my beliefs and become closer with them, you know. And if they happen to partake in alcohol and stuff like that, I turn my head and go and sit at the couch with my uncle or whatever and watch the game. You know, I just don't participate in that type of behavior. But, you know, it's just because I'm a Muslim and this time is a Christian holiday is no reason for me to not spend time with my family. If anything, this is a time for me to spend time with them and to share in my beliefs and my thoughts with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, respectfully, I mean, someone can opt out from, let's say, going to any religious functions or whatnot. But I mean, you know, like you said, it's a good time to really, like, motivate people to really reflect what was the true message of Jesus, peace be upon him. Sharing, I mean, that people don't have to start now because they disagree about religion or whatnot. They start, you know, shouting and cursing and disrespecting. But I think when more people now, you know, when you talk about, because obviously the Islamic perspective is that God didn't have a birthday, meaning that, you know, he didn't die to get resurrected because he's eternal, right? God is not like us. I mean, God's the creator. We're the creation. And we have a deep love and reverence for Jesus. And I think this is a great time to really share, you know, how much of a connection Muslims have. Because many Christians, I mean, your family, when you accepted Islam, did they know that you can't be a Muslim unless you believe and love Jesus as one of the mightiest messengers of God? God sent him to call people to worship God.
I've actually had my uncle, one of my uncles, like, he was telling me, he's like, son, you know, you can't be a Muslim. You got to believe in Jesus. And I told him, I was like, I do believe in Jesus. I mean, you know, I can't be a Muslim if I don't believe in Jesus, right? I mean, there's just... Some of the theology is different between you and I, but we both love Jesus, you know, the same, right? And so you see him as God, I don't, you know, but I can't be a Muslim, I can't be an Islam if I don't have a deep love and reverence for Isa alayhi salam.
And I often like to connect when we, Isa alayhi salam, I mean, we're just saying peace be upon him. And another thing I like to reference is, like, when we say Islam, I'll reference the Lord's Prayer, because it's there, in there, where Jesus, peace be upon him, said, O our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's Islam, submission to the will of God. And a Muslim is simply one who submits to the will of God. It's not just an Arab, someone in the desert, but, you know, Arabs only make up, I think, 10-11% of the Muslim population. You know, you're an American?
Yeah, Slovak.
Slovak, right? Yeah. So how is it now someone sees you, and with all this Islam, I'm going to just divert a little bit. How did you respond to some of your parents? You get some of this negative, oh, you're a terrorist now. They, you know, associate you with some cult or whatnot. How do you respond to that? Have you had some of that come up?
I mean, yeah, whenever I first became a Muslim for a little while, yeah, I was actually at a family gathering, you know, and, so, you know, someone made a joke, something about, you don't have any bombs underneath your jacket or anything, do you? And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I didn't say anything to him. I bowed my head and I actually asked Allah for forgiveness, you know, to forgive him of his, you know, ignorance. He doesn't know, you know, most Americans, but a lot of people, you know, they don't know Muslims, you know, a lot of non-Muslims don't know Muslims. And so Muslims tend to be something foreign and strange or something like that, you know, and actually, the, you know, Catholics were in the same predicament whenever they first came to this country a long time ago, too. I mean, and now there's 70 million something, so or 70 million odd Catholics in the country. So I think every group, you know, in the beginning of their, you know, of their presence in a country or in a specific region deals with a lot of these things, you know, and we just have to have patience, you know, and say astaghfirullah and ask Allah for forgiveness for them, for they don't know, you know, and with time, you know, time heals all wounds, right? And yeah. So I think with time, we'll be just as, you know, normal in this country and just as predominant in this country as any other religious group is.
Yeah, I mean, this is the best, I think, supplication we can make is asking God Almighty to bless people with the guidance of truth. We all want to know what God wants from us. Why don't we ask the Creator directly, say, God, guide me. And we as Muslims, we should ask for the guidance for all of humanity. We ask Him to guide us. How many times? 17 times a day, a minimum. And this is something for our families, for our loved ones. Now, during Easter, especially making for the new converts, people, because Islam is the fastest growing way of life out there, according to the Guinness Book of World Records, the simple message of worshiping the Creator, not the creation, doing good deeds, prayer, fasting, you know, not some of these things, the exceptions to the rule. You have some of these people who are out there, you know, an app, a bad apple in every bunch. You don't throw away all of the good apples because of the bad one. And then you try to prop up, you know, like the media does, this, there's legitimate fear. Then there's manufactured fear that's out there perpetuated to have you fear something that you should be fearing more your furniture than, you know, Muslims, because according to statistics, you have more of a chance of getting killed by a toddler with a gun than some radical extremist Muslim. Muslims are peaceful people. We're talking about now, let me go back, I kind of diverge, but Easter, so Easter was Good Friday today. That means that this is the day that allegedly people are saying that Jesus died. Yes. And we would now contrast to that Islam, we say God doesn't die. And then the other point was that Jesus was resurrected. Again, God doesn't have a birth date. He wasn't born. He doesn't die. Jesus brought a message calling people to worship God. And that's where we kind of differ respectfully. No problem. So now that what you know and what you share with your family, how does it go now, you know, with what you believed before now? And how does everything, you know, what advice do you give for also people new to Islam? And how do you compare to, because it's been how many years since you accepted Islam?
Well, it was October 6, 2012, I accepted Islam. So I think just the biggest thing is just like I said earlier, you know, don't think of it like you're someone strange in your family now, or you have to not participate in their gatherings and stuff like that. I mean, I go and hang out with my, you know, family on Christmas and stuff like that, and Easter and all of their Christian holidays. But I just don't participate in the things that I used to, right? I don't.
In like the religious ceremony.
Yeah, the saying grace, you know, I say, you know, Bismillah, right? Yeah. I say grace. I say grace too, just in my own way, right? And so, I think it's important to know that, like, beyond religious holidays and stuff like that, these times are good times to spend with family, and they're good times to be around the ones nearest and dearest to your heart, the ones, you know, that you love the most. And so if anything, you know, use these types of celebrations, or use these types of days to become closer to your family, and to make dhikr and say to become closer to Allah. You know, and to thank him for guiding you on this path, and then ask him to guide your family, you know, so that way they one day, inshallah, they may, you know, take their shahada as well.
Yeah. So as you can see, John, he doesn't opt out of any ceremonial celebrations, because that's something that we don't agree, and that's something there that obviously people can respect when you respectfully speak to people, because we again love Jesus, but we don't believe he died, that he was a literal son of God. Why should you get upset about that? But we do believe that he came with a message, and that message was the same as Moses' message, as Abraham's message, as the last and final messenger sent to mankind, Prophet Muhammad's message, peace and blessings be upon all of them, which was calling humanity to only worship God, to not set up a partner with God, to not go through any intermediaries, no confession box, whatnot. So after we get the elephant out of the room, because the Christian will tell you, right, look, if you don't believe Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you're going to hellfire.
Yeah.
Why am I going to freak out over that? He loves me. If he's telling me sincerely, if he truly loves, if someone truly loves you and they're sharing this truth with you, say, hey, thank you for that. Thank you for sharing that with me. Go look into it. See if there's truth there. Just like see if what we're saying as the Muslims, that you shouldn't associate partners with God. You should only call upon God, only God. And we don't partake in alcohol and drinking and the parties and whatnot. But connection with family, with your mother, with your father, that should never be cut off.
For sure.
For sure. So you got to hear the Islamic perspective, and also from our brother John, who also accepted Islam a few years ago. And we got to talk about the Shahada. And if you want to become a Muslim, look, or if you have some questions, that's what we're here for. Call us, 1-800-662-ISLAM. Engage. Make the human connection. Many times we see people making comments and really acting in a belligerent fashion. Take the higher route. Connect with a Muslim. Visit a mosque. Make a phone call. Call us and ask those tough questions. And let's see where it goes from there. Anything you'd like to say?
I just want to say JazakAllah khair to you for inviting me to speak right now and share my thoughts and with the rest of the Muslim world.
John, thank you and thank you. We'll see you next time. Beautiful day. Enjoy it. Thank God. Thank God. We'll see you next time. Alaykum as-salam. Peace be with you. All right, guys. And that was John. Accepted Islam a few years ago. And you have a lot of people now that accept Islam. And then they have this problem in the beginning, being very rigid and tough and rough with their family. And these are the three points that I want to cover, and we can conclude for this week's episode. One was to be gentle, to be kind, to be well-mannered. You know, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, he didn't come with anything new other than a revival of the pure monotheism. And right with that is he had said that I have not come except to perfect good manners. And there's so much emphasis of being good to your family. So you really, you know, you obey your parents. So the first point is the respectfulness to your parents. Just because now you're Muslim and you don't celebrate Easter or Christmas or these holidays, that you become disrespectful. You're throwing all the alcohol out of their house and saying really mean things. No, you can kindly opt out. And it's a great way now to engage and be in the service of your parents and let them see through your behavior. They can see that, wow, as many have testified, look, I can sleep better at night. Parents have testified now that my son or my daughter is a Muslim, because you're better. It's helped you to become a better human being. Let them see that first and foremost. And obviously, two is that we opt out kindly and respectfully from doing any religious ceremonies. It's easier to invite, like when we invite people to prayer, it's something that connects with our nature, because we're inviting people to pure monotheism, to praying to no one other than God. But if someone's calling you to worship a cow, to worship the sun, you know, some people worship, you know, in India, you can go to jail 7 years for eating beef because people end up worshiping an animal. We can't do that because according even to the Bible, this is an abomination. This is something where you're setting up partners with God. And this can land the person in hellfire forever. So we don't want to do that. We don't want to call on other than God. Obviously, if you are doing that and you repent, God is the most loving, the most merciful. So in these holidays, we see that there's an association going on with God, that we're calling on a messenger. People are calling on saints. People are calling upon the creation. And Islam is about calling upon the Creator. So we can respectfully opt out, but it doesn't mean that you cut off ties with your family. That doesn't mean that. That's point two. And point three, dua, supplication, asking for guidance, that God guides us and guides our families, that God Almighty makes it easy. And those people that you love, your mother, your father, the dua is the strongest thing that you have. Sincerely, this should increase your ibadah, your connection with your Creator, that you're praying more, that you're actually doing things to strengthen the connection with you and Allah, God. And this is increasing the likelihood that Allah will guide those whom you love, right? It's very important. So being a good example, having good character, strengthening the family ties by doing everything within the limitations that Islam permits, and there's strong emphasis on family ties, not breaking them. Two, opting out respectfully. And three, making dua for those loved ones, for your loved ones. I know it can be challenging and hard for many people who have accepted Islam, educating yourself how to tackle those tough, many misconceptions that people have, and inviting people, if you can't answer them at this time, invite people to call us. Call us, 1-800-662-ISLAM. And before you, if you're visiting this channel, you're a Christian or someone from other faith, really look at the commonalities that we have in common. You see that, you know, instead of focusing on, you know, many of these things that are a distraction, to disunify us working together on a common good, to make the neighborhoods that we live in a better place, humanity a better place. You're fighting on most of the manufactured fear that's causing you to hate, because you have a misrepresentation of what Muslims and Islam are, and now you form in your head some monster. Before you do that and you continue with this horror movie in your mind, check out the facts. Watch a few of our shows and call us. And before you engage with foul language, some nasty comments, disrespectful, you know, to someone, and take the higher route. It's very important. Take the higher route, make the human connection, engage in conversation, because hate only breeds more hate. And I hope that this was of a benefit. And tune in every week to the Zine Show. That's why we do it, helping to educate those who don't know anything about Islam and helping to clear those misconceptions. Subscribe, get our shows weekly sent to you and some short reminders and episodes in between. Thank you very much for tuning in. I'm Eddie, your host. I hope to see you next week, same time, same channel. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.